Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Psychology of Work, Why People Do What They Do, a podcast exploring the science and stories behind high-cohesion, high-performing teams. My name is Dr. Bobbi Wegner. I'm a lecturer at Harvard in organizational psychology and the founder of Groups. In each episode, we dive into the minds of industry experts to uncover what drives team and individual dynamics, tackle real-world challenges together, and share actionable insights to help teams feel and function their best. Thanks so much for joining, and let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Psychology of Work. I'm super, super excited to be here today. So I'm here with Stevie Rabinowitz, who has spent a long career in leadership and team development. She's an executive coach focused on helping leaders and teams build trust, alignment, and real human connection at work. So we really just sort of connected and had a love fest when we first connected. So she has deep experience at designing leadership and learning programs inside organizations. She's especially passionate about how everyday behaviors like how meetings are opened and how curiosity is practiced shape team functioning and performance. She's also the founder of Lotus Leadership, where you coach leaders to lead with intention, presence, and authenticity.
Excellent. Yes.
Anything you want to add, Stevie?
Well, and the reason I was focusing on Lotus Leadership, it is because out of the mud comes the beautiful lotus. And that is why it is Lotus Leadership, right? We are all somewhat muddy in different ways, right? And how do we develop ourselves to be beautiful lotuses for ourselves and for others? And so that is the story behind my company name. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, tell us about you and your company and just a little bit about who you are.
So, gosh, I've been doing this work for a really long time, and I actually started in the film industry, believe it or not, and I was doing camera work, and I worked on movies like Pulp Fiction and Liar Liar and A Walk in the Clouds and all this stuff, and I realized I did not want to be in this industry, so I got in. I wanted to, like, have a computer and a company car and wear a fancy casual corner suit. Like, I thought that's what I wanted. So I got into pharmaceutical sales of all things. But while I was really good at it, I was really great at sales, but I hated it. I loved training people. So I didn't even know. It was this very squiggly line to get to this, but I became a sales trainer. And from that, kind of worked my way back into film. So I started doing sales training and point of sale leadership development at Showtime Networks. So I got into pharmaceuticals, got into Showtime. And so while I was at Showtime, there were all of these mergers and acquisitions of all of these cable industry companies, right? Like, so all of the cable industries, and I was helping them lead call centers. So they needed less about tell me what programming you have on Showtime and more about, oh my God, I have a team of 400 people at this call center and they're not engaged and we're having all of these changes and this company is acquiring us and all of these things. And I started just working with them as a human. And I was doing OD work, organization development work, rogue. I didn't even know. I was just coming up with things and trying to help them lead their teams better. And that kind of led me into getting my master's in OD. So I got my master's in OD at Pepperdine and then started getting into the leadership and learning space corporately. It's kind of this crazy route to get there. And then in doing learning and development and leadership development in various different organizations. So I'm kind of all over the place, right? Like, I've been in retail with Gap, Virgin America, tech, Facebook. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, like, the different.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I was at Gap Inc. for 6 years. And then I got recruited to Facebook or Meta or whatever they want to call themselves these days. And I was like, well, I'm in the Bay Area. I should probably get into tech before my hair turns gray. So got into tech and started doing team dev. So they called it team dev there. So working with their global marketing and sales teams to really do deep diagnosis on how either bringing a good team to great, or maybe this team was struggling. And what was that? What was the struggle? And really diagnosing what that was and helping them function better. So using, like, tools that I had learned through my coaching certification and through all of the different things I'd done, just started kind of putting together really bespoke curriculum for these teams to help support them. And then, you know, just kind of moved on, stayed in tech, went to Robinhood, went public with Robinhood, so got to experience that. and then went on to Airtable, which is how I met you through Ellie, one of the greatest leaders I've ever worked for. Like, love, love, love her. Yeah. And that's the point, having great leaders. When you find these people, how can you learn from them and emulate those things that you're learning and apply them to your own leadership, right? And so that to me has always been a driving force, because we've had, everybody has like great leaders. But when you talk about like, tell me about a leader that stands out to you, there's probably two, right? There's one where people are like, oh my God, I hated this person. They made my life miserable. I couldn't wait to be away. I was like stuck. And oh, this person saw the potential in me. This person promoted me. This person taught me things that I didn't even know I had the ability to learn, right? And so I get, as you can see, super passionate about like making these leaders, right? Bridging that gap, bringing them over. And a lot of times there's a lot of blind spots, but like, when you make a shift, it's so exciting.
I mean, it's such a cool journey, right? And I love sort of having you walk us through that story. And it's just like super cool to listen to. And at the end, you're really talking, it sounds like the fundamental thing you do is sort of helping people optimize themselves, right? And the vehicle to get from this person to that person is really coaching, right? And like, how do you do that? And what does that look like? And I'm just thinking, how do you see that? When you're, where you see a leader that wants to grow and improve and be more of themselves in some way, what does that look like for you? What do you ask? What do you focus on? What do you, what does this look like?
Well, first of all, I would say, Bobby, like the optimal word you used is a leader that wants, right?
So, yeah.
So many times, like maybe as an external coach, you're brought in because somebody's like, oh, coach this person because I want to get rid of them, right? So coach them because I don't want to do it. And that's like proof that kind of trickles down, right? Like a poor leader who doesn't want to help support their person. So there is that difference, right? Like the people that want to learn and grow, and I'll answer that question, and those that maybe don't.
Yeah. If you're
open to it, like you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, maybe I'll answer that in a second, because sometimes there are things you can do, assessments and different things to really open up somebody's eyes that may have been resistant. And then that kind of flips a switch for them to go, oh, I had no idea through a 360 or something that I was perceived this way.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder my team is failing, or no wonder I keep losing people, or no wonder we're not hitting our numbers. And then they want to. So then to kind of flip to the want to, how do you approach that? I mean, there's a million ways, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You're making me think of our work where, yeah, we see both, right? So there's people coming in. We work with like a lot of hypergrowth companies that like are rapidly onboarding people and need their teams to step up and become leaders, or becoming like have individual contributors step up and become like managers and leaders. And some of these people, like there might be a want, but it's sort of like amorphous. And they like, sure, that's cool. I like to be sort of offered something, but do I really want to do this? And I don't, and like don't have the self-awareness yet to actually understand what it means and where they fit in and what they need to like do to actually get there. And that's kind of like a different can of worms than when you're working with somebody who self-selects in and is an organization that wants to sees like their areas of growth and opportunity and like seeks help and, you know, kind of co-constructs like the coaching plan.
Yeah.
Change it, like it's just different depending on who you're working with.
Well, and what you mentioned is like my favorite kind of leader to work with, right? These young new leaders, maybe that had never even thought that they were ready or willing or able to lead a team. And that's happening all the time in these fast growing startups, right? Suddenly you're just like one of many, kind of white knuckling through it together, right? Like, look at us, we're all just a team. And then suddenly the layers start happening as you grow, and there has to be leaders and ICs. And suddenly the unassuming IC is leading five people.
And yeah, or 20 people.
And they don't know what they don't know. And they don't also know how to do this, right? And maybe they're so young, they haven't been led themselves very much. So they don't even know how to see that like good versus bad, or any sort of examples to help them understand how to work with a team. Like, Are they having one-on-ones with their team? How are they opening those? How are they setting their goals? I mean, all like the basic stuff that they need to kind of cover. And how are they creating the camaraderie within their team, right? So it's like, those are the ones that, especially if they're willing, that are super juicy to work with, because they're like a blank slate, right? They get to start and go, oh, I don't even know where to start to do this. And I want to, they might have that desire, we hope, to do well for their team. And their team's probably their age, you know, like.
Yeah, that age thing's interesting. How do you think about increasing self-awareness? I think a lot of what you're talking about is like helping someone see what they don't see. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you even do that? Or what are some strategies or things you do? Like, I've definitely been in that. We were like, wow, I see the possibility. I know what your managers want for you, but you just don't even see it yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you do there?
I mean, God, that's such a human thing, right? Like, we all have our blind spots. Sometimes we probably don't even choose to see the things that are like,
you might
right? We might know it, but we're like, no, not like that. Yeah. Nobody's going to know, right? Yeah. Like, and so I think for one, in working with various clients, it's building that trust, mm-hmm. have those conversations, right? And to hold up a mirror and share a hard truth and know that you're going to be okay, to learn that. And it might come from an assessment, like a 360, something like that, where there's got to be proof of behavior that's showing up, right? It's got to be a behavior that's been replicated. It's not the first time this has shown up, but there's, you know, what is it like that cause and effect?
Yeah, like you're the mirror and you've got to figure out a way to be the mirror in some way. Mm-hmm. So whether it's feedback and what you're seeing kind of like in the moment with the person, or feedback from their leaders, or a 360 or some kind of data that is like, this is where we want to go, or the company wants you to go. Do you want to go there?
Yeah.
Here are some blocks, and also here are some like strengths that you could really use to lean into this role.
Right. And then there's curiosity. Like, if you're able to provide that data, then just even asking, what do you notice?
Yeah.
Like, what did they pull out? What are they afraid to pull out? What's that glaring data that they don't point out? Like, if they have data that shows something that they don't want to admit to themselves.
Yeah.
That's where a coach can come in and be like, you're overstepping something. Did you see it? Right? Like, what did you notice about that? What is causing you to keep not looking at it and not addressing it? Like, why are you not addressing that? Right?
Yeah. Like, what's the avoidance of? Yeah, totally. All behaviors are functional, and the avoidance part of it is like real, right? We don't want to see parts of ourselves because it's hard.
Yeah.
And then kind of why is it hard? What's it triggering for you? What feelings are being triggered when you look at that part of yourself?
Right.
You know, what are you fearing? What's underneath it? And why is that behavior of avoidance actually serving you? And how do we actually basically tackle that to be able to look at it?
Yeah. And like, there's all sorts of, what's the origin of that? And it's not that we need to like go deep down into like, what'd your mother do 40 years ago?
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's like, there are things that create the walls or create the habits or create these behaviors. And it's like, how can you peel the layers to learn a little bit more? Where has this shown up before?
Yeah.
It's a behavior. It's a trait. It's like that kind of age old, how's that working for you?
Yeah. Is it working? Yeah. What are your goals? Like, a lot of this it's so complicated and so simple at the same time, right? So is it working? Like, what does success look like? But like, taking the time and having the right coaching language to actually open up the conversation is so critical.
Yeah. The curiosity, right? Like, just being curious and being genuinely curious. And it's different than like rattling off questions, because I'm a coach and I'm supposed to ask questions, right? There's a nuance. And if you're going to be building that trust, like, you should care a little bit, right? Like, you want that leader to succeed. As a coach, you get to see from a different lens, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as you're reading whatever assessment, or even just reading the tea leaves on a person, right? Like, sensing who they are and being able to hold up the mirror and doing it from a place of deep curiosity and like, authentic caring. Like, I really want you to do well. You've hired me to do something, right? Like, I'm your champion and I see this, and this is what's holding you back.
Yeah. You're making me think. So I teach this applied coaching class, and we just did it. It's like, I teach two applied courses where people fly to campus basically for 4-day immersive. So you fly in, you do this like piece of work, and it's really fun. I teach coaching 8.5 hours a day for people who primarily leaders who want to be coaches in some capacity, not even like formal coaches, but like leaders who are managers.
Coach your people.
Yeah, coach your people. And some of the questions that come up, but I could hear it in what you're saying. It sounds like you're a very psychology oriented coach, which like, as am I, because I'm a psychologist, so I can't like take that hat off, right? I'm more of like a psychologist who coaches. So I gravitate towards like understanding the root causes and like moving towards it, but I can hear that in your language. And the question that comes up for me or students always ask, like, what's the line between therapy and coaching?
Yeah.
And then the other one that I'm hearing is true care for the person, and almost like love as a human is part of this relationship, and it's still a professional relationship. Like, you're giving me money to help you here, right? There's a transaction that happens.
Yeah.
And so those are two things that like people always often ask about. So the line between coaching and therapy, mm-hmm. also like, what's the difference between like sort of friend and coach?
Yeah.
And like, how do you think about those things?
So good and so important to have that distinction, right? So one of the things with clients, like if they ask that, and it comes up a lot, like what's the difference? Like it feels the same in some ways because you are a full person showing up, whether you're talking about work or maybe something else is happening in your life that's affecting your work, right? Mm-hmm. So we are whole people. I get very like focused on that. We are humans, whether we're at home, at work. And so sometimes I say like the difference between coaching and therapy is coaches meet you where you're at and bring you here, whereas a therapist is able to meet you here and has the opportunity and the schooling. I mean, they have the ability to kind of dig a little bit deeper behind the scenes and into your history in many areas. So there's a broader space, but I feel like coaches, I get you the snapshot you are, and then I'm going to move you forward. That's my hope. I don't need to know what your mother did or, you know, like, I mean, if you bring it up, hey, that might be an interesting pattern. We can talk about what's happening here and how it's affecting you here. So that's kind of how I create that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's what I say too. It's really like forward thinking and like, of course you're going to want to understand like habits of thinking, habits of feeling, habits of doing. So you have to look at the past to understand the present, but coaching is really present focused. So like, where are you today? What are your goals? And then how can we move forward?
Yeah.
And like, look retroactively, like as needed, but not necessarily.
Yeah. I don't need to dig deep
or make sense of the stuff, you know, and especially in the work context, nobody wants work therapy. Like, you know what I mean? You can go back and you can, but nobody wants to do that at work.
And you know, the funny thing is too, people, I've heard that term too. I've heard people call it like work therapy. And I'm like, well, let's like reframe that because therapy's therapy. And if you need that, like I highly recommend, right? Like there might be something you need that for, but let's focus on like your issues right now at work or things that are on your day to day and how can we bring you to the space that you're hoping to, like coaching without any sort of objective, right? I hear about this all the time too, like these kind of rambling conversations, and there should be real clear goals and outcomes or it's a conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then you had another question. You were talking about
it was the friend coach thing, you know? Yes. So it's like, how do you hold care? I guess it was sort of like a reflection, but it's like, how do you hold true care and compassion and interest and empathy and all those things?
Yeah.
And then also not be a friend and hold professional boundaries and get paid and have it be both real and transactional at the same time.
Yeah. You know? You know what's interesting? I think it's very important, right? Not to blur that line. And sometimes if you've been working with somebody for a period of time, you start feeling more friendly, like, I'm championing I really hope.
And,
you know, like those types of things. But you have to remember to keep, you know, kind of compartmentalize, right? There might be an inside voice that's like, right, like something's coming up, but you've got to hold that professionalism, right? And and maybe like if you're too friendly, right, then those hard truths don't come out because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But if you're getting paid to do this job, it's not about hurting somebody's feelings. It's about caring enough to share the hard truth. It's caring enough to say, I don't know how I'm thinking of an example, but like, you know,
Feedback. I think it's like hard feedback when, you know, you're like, I don't really want to see this because it's especially when someone doesn't see it in themselves. I think it's not coming from them. Yeah. And you're like, I want to give them this feedback. I want to reflect, and we have the empathy, we have the relationship. And also, like, how do I give this feedback in a way that can be like heard? And at least for myself, it comes back to the goals. So like, I think one way that makes this easier is when you really define the goals at the front end and say they want to become this, you know, leader or take on this role in the company, and you see something that could really be a block and they don't see it in themselves yet.
Yeah.
I'll use like self or self-disclosure in that moment to talk about like, listen, there's a part of me that feels hard to say this because I'm sensitive to how you might hear this.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that feels like a real responsibility to the goals that we co-created and set at the beginning, which is like, you want this role. And so I'm really speaking through that role. Like, I know, just know this coming from care and compassion, but I'm noticing this sort of like thing. And I'm wondering, do you see it too? Get buy-in, right? And then if they, you know, see it too or not, then that's a different conversation. And then, you know, how can we work on it together? And do you see this as an important thing that's going to help you get where you need to go? And I feel like people are pretty open to it once it's framed and they're invited to the conversation.
Yeah. No, what you just said and did is just beautiful. That's exactly it, right? Like, because that's what you're coming to is just saying, you know, I'm coming from a place of care and, you know, I'm with you and having this desire to move forward.
Yeah. And it's hard. And I think you can name your own discomfort at times.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to always be doing it, but it is like, I care for you. And it's hard sometimes to have these conversations. And
you paid me to do this.
Yeah. You paid me to do this. And I wouldn't be honoring my role and responsibility of like.
And here's the deal. When you do that, it validates what they're paying for. Right. Then they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're not my yes.
And they're like, ooh. Hard to hear, but like, you're right. And I am actually learning something here.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that I think like some of the hardest things are the biggest learnings, right? Like that's the thing. When you drop a little bomb, you know, a bomb with like fluffy, happy, it was meant, you know, like when you drop something that creates change, change isn't easy.
Yeah.
It's meant with love and it's meant to forward, you know, their goal. So yeah.
It makes me think it's the relationship so important. And you were talking about trust earlier. So like those little bombs are important feedback, but they have to be timed right in the context of like strong rapport and relationship. Like, I'm just thinking about like you have to trust the system. Like, I've been in situations where, you know, you're getting hard feedback, but the like safety isn't, you don't trust the system. Mm-hmm. So you feel it's hard to then open up because you don't want to open up because it's more of an exposure than a learning thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, and even like what you were just saying and the way that you provided like an outline of how to give that feedback, right? That's also like great learning for a client to be like, oh, so this is how I could do the same thing for somebody on my team. I have something hard I need to share with them. And how can I approach it in the same way that I was just approached? Because it didn't kill me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm okay. Yeah. Right. And so I, as a leader, am paid just like my coach, I am paid to help grow my team. And sometimes that means I might have to tell them things that they're not going to want to hear. Sometimes it's great.
Modeling. You're modeling in real time, like what you really want from the leader too.
Yeah. And how they receive it. So then they're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
I can do that too. Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think coaching is really, that's a real value, is to be able to bring it to the here and now, like you're just describing, like you're modeling, you're talking about it, you're bringing attention to the dynamic that's happening. And then you're trying to help them think through, like, how could they do this, like outside of this sort of coaching situation?
Yeah.
You know,
and like you're being vulnerable by saying, you know, this is kind of hard for me to share with you, but I think for the greater good of your growth and the desire to reach your goals, I'm going to tell you something, you know, like whatever it might be. And then they can do the same, right? Yeah.
That reciprocity piece too. Like, I'm thinking too, like getting feedback both ways. So being like, how was it to hear that? What's it like for you?
Yeah.
You know, and being curious about it, I think also allows, you're setting the norm that feedback can be bi-directional too.
Yes.
You know, like from leader or manager to employee. And like, the more you have those types of conversations, the stronger the connection and cohesion you can like build.
Right. Yeah. You know? No, I love that.
I know we're kind of getting ready to come to the end of our time, but I just, what did I not ask you, Stevie? Like, what's on your mind? Like, Now, what would you want to share that you think is sort of relevant or cool or anything, you know, really?
You know, I love that you're doing this so much. I think it's just really wonderful to see all the information that you're able to provide people. What have I not shared? I would say just, I don't know, like probably just being able to work with teams and leaders and individuals. Like, I think there is such a benefit. And I think right now in this day and age where budgets are tight and, you know, things are challenging, if you will, this is actually the perfect time to have folks come in and help support teams that are struggling, right? And individuals that are struggling and wanting to do well with all the cuts and just different things happening. It's like, this is one of the first things that gets cut. And it's probably one of the first things that needs to stay to help support people so they can thrive at work, right? And not, I mean, they have to work. So how can we make it a space where they thrive and learn and grow as humans? Yeah.
I mean, that's so beautiful. And we were seeing this all over the place that like every organization, everyone's reporting stress and uncertainty, right? It's like nobody's really immune to that. And, you know, I think that gets sort of captured at times as like a well-being thing. And companies are, the best companies see it as like a business challenge because people are going to be sub-optimized when they're in a stress state. They're not working, they're worried, you know. But when you can help coach or take a little bit of pressure or just create space, that ultimately is a pretty low cost intervention in broader business context, then like you're getting better productivity, higher retention, better engagement.
Right.
All this turns into dollars at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's huge return, huge return on a very small investment, and not only investment in the coach, let's say, but investment in an employee's time.
Totally.
Right? It could be a 30 minute to an hour conversation once every couple of weeks. Right? It could be, it's really simple, but it's something that can help somebody clear their head and get some direction and feel support where maybe they're not feeling it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. It's like the people who are like kind of new to coaching, I think, like have a hard time understanding that's the impact because they haven't experienced it themselves. Yeah. But you're like, wait a minute. Like when you can put words and take time, things feel better. Yeah. And then you can show up more clearly.
Yeah. And I always say too, like, the most important aspect of coaching happens in between sessions, right? Mm-hmm. It's not this moment, but it's what you're marinating on in between the next time. What did you action on? What was that voice in your head? What did Stevie said, right? Like, what was it that struck you, that carried you through and had you do things differently, even slightly, right? It's like changing a habit. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge, it's actually cost savings. Like it's the opposite of what people think.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're trying to like be better at measuring that in real time to productivity data, but we can have a whole other conversation.
I know. That's
the next podcast. I just appreciate you coming, Stevie. It's always so fun to have a conversation and, you know, I look forward to our next one soon.
I feel the same. I love talking to you, Bobby. It was really nice. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks, Stevie.
Yeah.